You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
You call that a news update? This is a news update. It's Neighbourhood Watch.
Hello, Rachel. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How's the weather in Australia today?
Well, it's pretty much perfect where I am. I think we had some issues with cyclones up in Queensland, but that's kind of typical for this time of year.
Well, you're better than we are, I think. We're just a bit overcast at the moment, but hey, we're New Zealanders. We will strive on. So today, to start off, our first story, we're talking about a somewhat controversial documentary released yesterday about the kangaroo meat industry. So Rachel, why is this documentary becoming a bit controversial?
Well, it's called Kangaroo, the Love-Hate Story, and it's really questioning the practice of hunting and eating kangaroos in this country. And it's been a long-held belief that kangaroos are almost pests because there's just so many of them. So we've had government-mandated culls. And that's usually where most of the meat comes from. It's sort of a niche thing. Not that many people eat kangaroo, but it is sort of considered as a healthier beef because it's a lot less fatty. And because you can't farm kangaroos and there's no need to farm kangaroos, it's been sort of considered the more ethical choice. But this documentary is basically saying that the government and the industry have been lying about how many kangaroos we have and saying that they may even be endangered soon if we continue to eat them. It's got some real graphic images of kangaroos who've been shot poorly and have been left to die. And it's basically saying that the kangaroo as an Australian symbol shouldn't be eaten because it should be considered a little bit too sacred for that. Now, the industry has been saying that this documentary has come from people who live in cities and they don't really go out and they don't see the practice. And, they're basically saying that they need some real life experience before they can comment on it. And they've also said that when there's negative comments about kangaroo meat, they actually end up getting more sales because it's a little bit more awareness that it's something that you can eat.
So what's your view on this? I mean, you're obviously an Australian, that's the whole segment, but your view, do you see many kangaroos? Is this something you're aware of there being lots of? Is that a shared knowledge between all Australians?
Well, I mean, I live in the city, but basically as soon as you go more than 20 minutes out of the city, they're everywhere. You just see kangaroos absolutely everywhere, and it's really difficult to not hit them on country roads. And I've actually been eating kangaroo my entire life because I'd rather eat something that got to live a free life than something that's been raised on a farm.
So the argument from this documentary is that they could be endangered or that they are endangered. What was the angle they were taking there?
I think they were basically saying that what we've been told about the kangaroo populations is a lie, which is very hard to... It's hard to imagine considering they're just so easy to find out in the wild.
Yeah, so they're saying that the government or the industry, the kangaroo meat industry, is lying about how many there are to just earn a profit.
Yeah, basically.
Okay, that is... I mean, to start off this segment, that's possibly the most Australian thing we could have done.
Yeah, pretty much.
But our second story is a little bit different, and it does apply to different countries as well. It's looking at a call from food delivery drivers for fairer wages. This seems like a huge task to take on these massive tech companies. I mean, like Uber Eats and all these big corporations. What exactly is happening here?
Well, I think the focus over here has actually been on the sort of Australian businesses. Like we've got Foodora and we've got Deliveroo, which is probably the most Australian name for a delivery company you can have. I think they're sort of trying to compete with Uber Eats at the moment. So they've been changing their rates and sort of paying people less and less. And there was a big protest on Wednesday in Sydney saying that the food delivery riders are basically underpaid for the work they do. And their work is quite dangerous because they're riding usually on bikes around places that they don't really know. And something like 3 out of 4 riders are being paid below minimum wage at the moment.
Mm. So this is, I mean, Deliveroo. I'm still thinking about that. But this is something that's affecting everyone. And has there been protests or anything like that thus far?
Yeah. So we had a protest this week, but we've also had 2 ex drivers or ex riders that have lodged unfair dismissal claims with the Fair Work Commission. Mm. One says that they were an older rider and they were being paid at a higher rate, and he's pretty sure that he was fired just so that they could hire a younger person or a newer writer and just pay them half.
Yeah, that's the thing about these businesses that, I mean, are mostly run online. It's just about, well, I'm this is my opinion, listeners, but to me it's just about making that profit, and the workforce is almost expendable more so than you'd see elsewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. And you think Uber Eats over here, I don't know what it's like over there, but over here you only have to pay $5 extra to have your food delivered to you, and you think, where is the money being given to the people who are bringing you your food?
And it's not it's not an easy job. They're going out in the wind and the rain or whatever conditions, and they're biking or motorbiking places. It seems like this is an action that needed to be taken, so this is really good to hear.
Yeah, I think it's the first case like this that's been sort of heard in Australia, so it'll be really interesting to see how many rights the Fair Work Commission believes these workers are owed.
Okay, just moving on to our last story. This is a bit of a heavy hitter, and we have talked about this earlier in the show. It's about a comment made on Australian breakfast show Sunrise, a show claiming to be Australia's favourite brekkie show. The comment was made by Australian Assistant Minister for Children and Families, David Gillespie, and it implied that at-risk Indigenous Australian children should be removed from their families to be adopted by white families. To begin with, obviously, there's a lot of historical context here. If you could just take us through that.
Yeah, so up until the 70s, we've seen masses of Aboriginal children taken away from their families by the government, supposedly for their own safety. But we saw that a lot of them ended up in institutions where they suffered major abuse, and a lot of children were simply taken for things like looking white. So the government thought that they could raise them as white and have them pass as white.
So inherently racist in that case.
Yeah, absolutely. It was kind of considered a form of genocide.
It's mind-blowing, especially what's been happening. I mean, what is the public reaction to these comments so far?
Well, a lot of people are absolutely furious. We've seen a lot of people threaten to boycott Sunrise for talking about it so flippantly. And especially the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders people are absolutely furious, because we've got people who are still alive who have suffered from being taken away from their families, and they've suffered abuse from that, and they've suffered the trauma of being removed from their culture.
I mean, that's such a good point that you make about it being so flippant. It is flippant. It's almost as if this issue is, you know, they praise David Gillespie for making this point where no other politician dares to go, but it's almost as though it's an issue, but it doesn't really matter. And I feel like that's the reason this is so horrific for so many people.
Yeah, absolutely. And to have a segment on a commercial breakfast station that didn't have an Indigenous voice. We've seen Prue McSween come on, who's sort of a generic white commentator who doesn't really have that much expertise in that subject. And she's saying, and this is a direct quote, "Just like the first stolen generation where children were taken because it was for their well-being, we need to do it again." And it's been a bit horrific to sort of see that just accepted and not challenged on national television.
And is this a common thing to have all white panels talking about Indigenous issues in Australian media?
Oh, I'd say absolutely in commercial media. You get a lot of Indigenous voices on the ABC, our national broadcaster, but I think in a lot of the other channels, it's just kind of put in the too hard basket.
It's just, I mean, do these stories and opinions on these matters have impacts on the Australian people, or do you think that there is increasing resistance to these views? Because I'm sure that there's people who agree with this if this is a sentiment that's being carried on live television by, I mean, unanimously between three hosts.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a bit of a mixed bag. We've got real division on where people sit when it comes to Indigenous issues. So we've still got quite a lot of people who are what you might call stolen generation apologists, and people who deny that it even happened and say that people are essentially lying about their experiences. And as soon as you start seeing things said about, oh, we're keeping Aboriginal children with Aboriginal families because of political correctness, you get a whole sort of side of the political spectrum that's happy to sort of let whatever is said be said.
And what's the next step? What can Australians do? I mean, even the international community could have a say in this. What can we do and Australians do to make this issue the big issue and make a change to here?
I think the most important thing is just to listen to the right people. There's a lot of people out there who work in Indigenous groups and who are Indigenous and who know people who've suffered through this. And they have a lot of ideas for how to stop child removal being so high among Aboriginal populations. But if we're not listening to them, we'll never be able to move forward.
Exactly. Well, thank you very much, Rachel. It's been a good first show with you, and this is my first time hosting Friday as well. So two first-timers, I think we did good.
All right. Cool. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Okay, see you, Rachel.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.